St. Mary's Catholic Church, founded in 1857. This is a beautiful building. Look at that. Although I think some of the glass is maybe broken. But probably really, really cool in there. Ooh, the stained glass is probably so cool in there. Especially when it's daytime, the sun's out. It's probably really, really beautiful. But right here is a statue of a homeless guy. But there is a homeless person trying to sleep, and I just noticed him. He's underneath the freaking thing. I didn't know that. Oh, I feel like such a jerk now. Crap. There's a real homeless person who can't sleep on this bench. I think society is going to have to start asking itself some pretty hard questions soon, because what is even the point of a society if large swaths of the population are suffering under that society? If the social contract that's supposed to be the glue that binds that society together is completely destroyed for large majorities of everyone, then what is even the point? If the whole society exists just to benefit a very tiny, tiny number of people and everyone else is completely screwed, that's not really a society that could be held together in any kind of legitimate way.
Americans are packing up and leaving, and they're deciding to live abroad.
People are moving at much higher rates than we've seen in the past.
Why?
The cost-benefit analysis of staying in the U.S. has just changed dramatically.
For some people, a new American dream is emerging, to no longer live in America. Americans are leaving in record numbers.
We have a record amount of Americans right now who are looking at moving out of the country for good in order to have a better life, in order to find affordability, to increase their quality of life, to not just be living on fumes in retirement. And I don't blame them, guys. I really don't. Obviously, things are not what they used to be here.
Now, we all know that more and more Americans are choosing to leave the USA for a better life. But here's something that I wasn't aware of. Currently, the US government has months-long backlog of Americans asking to renounce their citizenship, not moving temporarily out of the country, but to renounce their citizenship.
Have you ever played Monopoly and lost really hard? Somebody else in the game bought up all the properties pretty much, and you just end up as a permanent renter.
Buy some land and houses too, you make it rich from the rent, or you'll be flat broke when the mortgage is due.
Just going around the board to pass go and collect $200 that you're basically just going to give to that person in a fun array of different ways as you go back around the board just to go back to go, get the $200 and do it all over again, over and over and over. Once the game becomes rigged like that and the other people playing figure it out, even though the game could technically continue, for all intents and purposes, the game is over. There's no reason anybody will want to play. And they might as well just leave and quit.
I'm 51 and I'm done. I am flat out just done with the job market. I'm done with this little American dream, white picket fence BS that we've been sold our whole lives. And I bet you if you clicked on this video, you're done as well.
And I think that's what's going on right now. I think a lot of people are quitting and they're just not really reporting on the figures because, first of all, there's just a lot of data they don't collect because it would be very impossible to collect. And there's just other data I think they don't collect specifically so that you won't see what's really going on.
Something strange is happening now. Out in the deserts, on forgotten pieces of rural land, in vans, buses, and RVs, another frontier is beginning to form. Only this time, they're not arriving in covered wagons. They're arriving with solar panels, lithium batteries, satellite internet, and everything they own inside a vehicle. The American frontier didn't disappear, it changed. And I think over the next 20 years, more Americans are going to start looking toward the places we were taught nobody wanted.
So it's a two-pronged problem there. But homelessness in this country has already surpassed record numbers a couple years ago. And that number, I didn't know at the time when I was talking about this, that number doesn't include a whole lot of things. It doesn't include what's called doubling up. So it doesn't include when You have record numbers of people in their 20s, 30s, and 40s having to move back in with their parents.
According to Realtor.com, a record 25.2 million adults under 35 were living with their parents in 2025. That's more than any point on record, including the COVID-19 pandemic peak.
Multiple families are now grouping together in one house because they can't afford the basic bills. It doesn't count people who couch surf. It also doesn't count people living in hotels, which are becoming the new apartments. Now that fewer and fewer people are able to get approved or afford apartments anymore.
Hotel apartments.
There are an enormous, enormous amount of people who are living in hotels. Entire families living in a room.
What you need to do is hand them your money, check in, and you get your keys. You don't have to do a background check, credit check. You can get housekeeping every week if you choose to. You get to pay weekly, biweekly, or monthly. You don't have to pay any utilities, Wi-Fi, trash, gas, electric, water. Everything's included.
Which is happening all over the place. It doesn't count that. It also doesn't count people living in their cars because they have no way of knowing how many people are doing that. But I've been following that trend for a long time because I started following it, looking into Agenda 21, Agenda 2030, and WEF, and they started really promoting tiny house living and alternate forms of living. And you had this really big promotion of hashtag van life and everything. But now what I'm seeing in that trend is a lot of people just being forced out of housing altogether because it is too expensive for them to even afford like a basic apartment.
I'm 22 years old and I am currently living out of my vehicle.
So I live in Atlanta and I live in my car.
Hey guys, I'm Jack and I live out of my car.
I'm homeless, living here in my car.
What up? I'm in the Target parking lot right now.
But this is my lunch. I am in a parking lot on the side of the highway.
Hey gang.
Oof.
Last night was a rough one. Not gonna lie.
In the background, you can see this van. That lady's been living here on my property for the past 2 years.
I've been homeless for the last 7 months and trying to hide it. And I realized how many people are in the same fucking shitty position that I'm in. So I'm gonna tell you how I've been surviving it.
I've been living out of this car for 4 months now, and I love it. Like, I don't cry myself to sleep anymore. I don't feel sad.
Wages have not kept up with the housing costs to the point now that home prices have now outpaced median household income growth in all 50 states. And this is a trend they started keeping track of in 2015, and it's just gotten worse. So it isn't just COVID. This is something that was happening before COVID, and then COVID just accelerated everything.
Ooh, we survived another night. Last day of work this week.
I've been trying to keep my car looking as normal as possible because I work a full-time job, and I don't want anybody, you know, to know that I live in my car. But honestly, I don't care anymore. This is my home.
Come with me to Krispy Kreme to get ready for work because I've been living in my car since a minute.
This is a day in the life of a 25-year-old who lives in a car with his wife. We both had work today, so we got up and started our morning routine by taking our window covers down, moving all of our bags around, and brushing our teeth.
And this is despite the government spending $460 billion in HUD spending on housing-related programs. So despite billions of dollars, hundreds of billions of dollars being spent, this problem is only getting worse.
For generations, owning a home has been a cornerstone of the American dream. But for millions of younger Americans, even the down payment is now slipping out of reach. A new report found HUD spent nearly $500 billion trying to make housing more affordable. But home prices still outrun incomes in every single state.
And just like we run for the cure instead of ever trying to figure out the cause for most of our health issues in this country, this homelessness situation appears to be a business that people are raking bank off of.
This will blow your freaking mind. Pull out Google and type in Los Angeles homeless house cost. $595,000 per residential unit. Are you joking me? How many people dipped their hands in the pocket of that number before it was actually got to the contractor?
Just another reminder how incompetent governments are. San Francisco's homeless budget is $1.1 billion. There's approximately 7,700 homeless people. Okay, that means that they spend approximately $140,000 per homeless person per year, and they haven't solved shite.
It now costs the city as much as $837,000 per housing unit for the homeless.
They raised over $1 billion in taxes, intended to quickly build housing for the sprawling homeless population in Los Angeles. And somehow, after putting it through the magical money machine that is California, it came back with $837,000 per housing unit.
The money is coming from 2016's voter-approved bond measure HHH. It raised taxes with the intention of building homeless housing quickly, but only about 1,200 units have been built so far. City Controller Ron Galperin says that is, quote, wholly inadequate, end quote.
This is not a refugee camp, and it is not a war zone. This is downtown Los Angeles, and you're looking at Skid Row, the most densely populated homeless area in all of America. Crammed into an area smaller than half a square mile are over 4,500 people living on the streets inside tents. To put it in perspective, Skid Row has more people per square mile than the entire city of Washington, D.C., and every single one of them are homeless.
You have to realize at some point, this is not just incompetence and corruption. It looks like they're actively not trying to solve the problem. It's just like the billions of dollars they've spent on a high-speed rail that's never materialized. It's this same thing. And you would think by now people would fully realize, like, this is not an accident. It's not just incompetence. It's not just regular corruption. This is some other whole entire thing that's going on that's intended to not solve a problem, because right now we're not in the problem-solving phase of this society. We're in the exacerbate and accelerate everything to its destruction so that we can, I guess, sell off the parts for scrap to whatever's coming next. And that's pretty clear when you see things like this, because there's no world in which a single homeless person's housing would cost $837,000. There's no building materials, resources, inflation, supply chain issues. There's no world in which that makes any sense. I could go on Amazon and get a tiny house right now for less than $5,000. Okay, this makes no sense. They're doing it on purpose. They could have fully housed every single homeless person in Los Angeles by now. They obviously don't want to. And I don't know why we can't just talk about these things the way they actually are instead of trying to pretend like they're just so incompetent.
41,000 people are living on city streets. Galperin says the HHH program is unable to meet that demand.
They're not incompetent enough to raise $1.2 billion. They're not incompetent enough to get that money out of people. They figured out a way to make that whole mechanism work. And then they found out a new way to drain it all into some place where it doesn't go to do the very thing it was raised for in the first place. I've seen so many people now making videos about how they're not able to afford anything and they're just having to live in their car. So this is not a choice that people want to make. It's the only choice they have left. And there's all these channels now that are dedicated to telling people about their journey having to live in their car.
Okay, it's day 4 of me living in my Honda Civic.
Day 1 of living in my car.
If you don't know, I live in this van.
My name is Arslan, and I've been living in vehicles for the past few years.
I live in my 2006 Honda Accord, and this is what it's like to stealth camp in a city.
This is what my life looks like right now, living in my car, but still staying active.
I'm Bella, and I live in my Subaru. I'm going to show you an evening routine when it's not raining outside.
Good morning, everyone. Today was a pretty interesting day. Eventful, to say the least. Luckily, we stayed overnight at a park, so the bathroom was pretty easy to access.
It's day 1 of me living back in my car, and I want to show you guys how I organize the car, and I'm going to set up in car camper mode. So here is what we are currently working with.
There's no third spaces anywhere. There's nowhere you can go to just relax. There's nowhere you can go to sleep. There's nowhere you can go to piss. It's a constant struggle to have any kind of, not even just privacy, just being left alone.
If you don't want to blow all your money on rent, then just live in your car.
You can DIY tint your windows with tapestries.
You can get a trifold to put in the back, put up some scarves,
have this container that's for food, but it also serves as a place for me to cook.
I also have another container down there.
I also have a 5-gallon water just to have water on hand and a propane tank.
If you haven't been paying attention to the series, we're homeless.
And it's also a lot of elderly people. I've noticed there's a lot of elderly people now who cannot make it on Social Security anymore, so they're being forced to live in their cars too.
I live in my van, and I'm over 60 years old. That's how it is out here sometimes in America these days. They don't account for people that have worked their whole life, and the rent is so high that I can't afford to rent a place.
I'm 70. I'm retired.
my field of work. I worked my whole life. After 2020, what was $800 went to $16 and $2,000 a month. I can't do it. I'm priced out.
And the idea that I live in a country where older people in their 70s and 80s who have worked their entire life and are still working part-time and even full-time can't afford to pay rent and are forced to live in vehicles because of that. Now, if you choose to live in a vehicle full-time, that's your option. And I think it's a great option if you do it by choice. But when you do it because you don't have a choice, that's when it's a problem. And that seems to be the case with more and more these days, particularly seniors.
School districts are now reporting record numbers of homeless students as well.
He just came in.
Aaron, his wife Celia, and their two children have lived in this parking lot outside of Seattle for the past 9 months.
And the reason that I know that this is becoming a trend is because now you have school districts opening up safe sleep lots. So this is designated parking lots for students and parents so they have a place to safely park and live in their car. Because they're actually trying to criminalize sleeping in your car now. That's another thing that's been going on. I don't know if you've noticed that businesses like Lowe's and Home Depot and other massive corporations are now putting flat cameras up all over their parking lots, and places like Walmart are kicking people out of parking lots. I've seen a lot of people talking about how Walmarts are starting to kick people out. They used to, back when they were 24 hours pre-COVID, they used to let people sleep in the back of the parking lot. They're not doing that anymore. They're kicking people out now. So they're kicking people out and not giving people anywhere to go in a system that's unaffordable. And now you have school districts like Cincinnati Public School District opening safe sleep parking lots. And you have teachers unions in other states like Kentucky, for example. Fayette County, which is the second largest school district, is now asking its school board to use district property as a place for families to live in their cars to sleep overnight. They're trying to do it in Kentucky.
The president of 120 AFT is asking the Fayette County Public Schools to establish a safe sleep lots program for district families facing homelessness.
The basics would be, you know, families, FCPS families that have nowhere to sleep and are currently sleeping in their cars could possibly use some FCPS property to, I don't know, plug in, have safety for the night, possibly a fenced-in area.
Laura Hartke says the program would mirror an approach taking place in Cincinnati public schools.
And this is a trend that's now rising, is trying to open up places so that students who live in their cars, because so many are homeless now and so many are doing this, at least have a safe place to sleep while doing so. That is the level that we're at. And people who have never had to face this kind of hardship think that everyone who's homeless is somehow like a crackhead or something. But if you go read these articles like this one talking about how they're opening more parking lots in San Diego for people to live in, they say that the majority of people served in the safe parking program have income, are employed. These are people that are being priced out of society. They work, they have money, they just can't afford anywhere to live.
Reading this comment actually broke my heart. It's because it says in 20 years, at least 30% of Americans will be living in cars and RVs full time. Well, let me help you out, because right now, private equity has bought up the overwhelming majority of RV parks in the United States. They've also bought up all of the mobile home lots. And then they have extorted the long-term citizens, especially the senior citizens, in the mobile homes they could still afford and the mobile home units. I grew up in a trailer park, okay? I grew up in a trailer park, and I was poor. And poor people could afford to live there back then.
We used to know this, by the way. This used to be taught in schools here. This is a classroom film produced by Encyclopedia Britannica in collaboration with Yale, actually just straight up called Despotism.
You can roughly locate any community in the world somewhere along a scale running all the way from democracy to despotism.
Which tells you exactly what this is and how despotism comes over your nation when the concentration of all the land, wealth, and power resides in the hands of a very few people.
If a community's economic distribution becomes slanted, its middle income groups grow smaller, and despotism stands a better chance to gain a foothold. Where land is privately owned, one sign of a poorly balanced economy is the concentration of land ownership in the hands of a very small number of people. When farmers lose their farms, they lose their independence. This one can stay on, but not as his own boss anymore. To the extent that this condition exists throughout a nation, the likelihood of despotism is increased.
So you're saying all of this is built to rent?
Mm-hmm. And you have these corporations that are building entire complexes of, like, tiny houses that are smashed together, built to rent, so no one's ever going to be allowed to own them. But the rents are exorbitant for the square footage. They're very expensive.
That shit looks like vivarium, dude.
You have to make three times the rent. And the three times the rent is an insane amount of money anymore for most people.
It's people out here right now today, man. They would rather make an $800 or $900 a month payment on an SUV or a pickup truck and live in a vehicle than to live in these overpriced-ass houses and overpriced-ass apartments.
I was renting $800 apartments since 2018. Rent just kept going up and up and up every 2 years. I had to keep moving. $800 apartment that I, or townhouse that I was renting, this last one, it was $1,150 is what I was paying, and $1,300 is what it's on the market for right now. And I just can't afford that. I was making $2,500 a month, so there was no way that I was going to be able to afford. I couldn't even qualify for my own apartment. I wasn't making 2.5 times rent.
Did you buy this for van life?
Yeah. I couldn't qualify for a house. I couldn't qualify for an RV loan. So a car loan, for some reason, was the only thing that I could qualify for. And so I realized, like, if I can't get a house, I might as well start looking for the best vehicle that I could possibly afford to live in.
There really does seem to be this move to try and criminalize being homeless. And I'm about to talk to you about why there's no world in which that's going to work. If you go and look this up, how many people can the U.S. imprison at full capacity, you will find out that there's only room in this country for a little over 2 million people to be put in prisons and jails. When you consider the fact that this country has already incarcerated more people than any other country on earth by far, you'll realize that those prisons and jails are already holding almost 2 million people as it is. So there's not even that many more empty spots available to just put infinitely more people in there. But if you add together all of the 98 federal prisons, the 1,566 state prisons, the 3,116 local jails, the 1,277 juvenile correctional facilities, the 220 immigration detention facilities, and the 77 Native American country jails, as well as the military prisons, civil commitment centers, state psychiatric hospitals, and prisons in U.S. territories, you will end up with a figure that says the United States can imprison roughly 2.1 to 2.2 million people at rated capacity. And keep in mind that federal prisons frequently operate at above 110% capacity as it is. There's only so many people they can shove into what they have. There's not enough space. When you consider that those prisons are already housing almost 2 million people currently, there's no way to then add homelessness, which already in 2024 was 750,000 people. And like I said, that number is way below. If you're actually counting people living in their cars and everything, it would be way more than that. There's no math that will make it so that you can criminalize homelessness. It's not possible. And it's especially not possible in a system where you actually have police officers now making videos talking about how unaffordable life is.
I'm a police officer in Waterbury, Connecticut. I'm 29 years old. I've been a police officer about a year.
Let's go.
But every day is a struggle for me too. If I still have to worry about my next paycheck, where my next meal is coming from, to put 20% down on a house, that's a lot of money. Even I can't do it working double shifts. In today's economy, even if I got a second job, wouldn't be able to afford it.
I'm a cop. I make decent money. I'll just tell you, I make like 70 grand a year in the new contract. Pre-tax, right? So my pre-tax income is $70,000 a year if I work no extra details or overtime, whatever. My take-home pay every month post-tax is like $4,000, right? Just about. And where I live, a one-bedroom apartment ranges anywhere from $2,000 to like $2,400 a month, maybe more, depending on where you're at. And a mortgage is going to be well over $2,500 for any house in this state. I'm 27, by the way, and like I just feel like I'm f***ed. Like, I'm f***ed. I'm single. I don't have a girlfriend. And, like, I had to move back home because I just, like, can't afford to do that.
Since the year 2020, inflation in the U.S. has exceeded an average of 4.3% each year and does not come close to the salary proposed by the county, when we are literally the lowest paid prosecutor's office in the entire state of New Jersey. When a child goes missing or a police department responds to a serious domestic violence incident, the Sussex County Prosecutor's Office is called to assist with the matter. If we are still the lowest paid agencies and follow the trend, we do not believe that we will be able to solve these crimes.
If this system decides to make it so that even the people they've put in charge of enforcing this system on people can't do it because they can't afford to live, that's going to break down extremely quickly, and that's already happening. So mathematically speaking, there is no reality in this country that says in the future they will be able to criminalize fully homelessness. And I've even seen people say they're going to criminalize debt and they're going to bring back debtors' prisons. No, they're not. There's no world. They would not have the resources to build fast enough how many facilities it would take to actually lock everybody up for debt. That would just be absolutely impossible. The personally held debt of Americans at this point is half that of the astronomical $40 trillion in debt that this government is in. There's no world in which they could put all those people in prison for not paying that. An interesting thought exercise would be to ask what would happen if everyone did just stop paying their bills, because at this point, there's not enough people to enforce anything. Again, I believe that's probably why we're seeing the astronomically fast rollout of a surveillance panopticon that's supposed to be run by AI and robots. There are 350 million people, roughly, in this country. 350 million. Go look up how many active duty military personnel there are, or how many sworn law enforcement officers there are. You will end up with a number just over 2 million. It's vastly outnumbered by the 350 million people who are here. There's not enough enforcement. I mean, just overloading the courts in the Minneapolis area during the ICE raid thing, that was enough to show how quickly courts are overwhelmed. It takes almost nothing to overwhelm the system in a very short amount of time. There is no world in which they can go back to making debt a crime like this, or a world in which they can make homelessness a crime either. Neither one of those things is possible. The system would be so overwhelmed so quickly, it would just fail.
I wasn't gonna record today. I didn't think it would be that interesting, but it is an insane heat wave this week, and the last couple nights I've barely slept at all. I mean, I'll just wake up for like an hour or two, unable to get back to sleep because I'm so warm. Even last night, I actually turned the AC on for a few minutes. Thankfully, I was at an industrial park. There was no one around, so it wasn't a big deal. But tonight, I'm stealth camping at the gym, which means not all the window covers are going to go up tonight. And I just really need to shower. So I've been trying to do residential street parking. And I can't sleep in until 8. And waking up at 6 seems to solve most of my problems. So I immediately go to the gym, shower, get my coffee, go to work. And then waking up that early kind of helps keep me out of eyes and really lowers the scrutiny.
Do you notice how inverted it is? The people who are suffering are the ones who have to hide now, not the people who are making money off of other people's suffering and are literally living off the suffering of others that are going around buying up everything and dispossessing everyone of everything all at the same time. Not those people who are actually parasitically feasting off of the society itself. Those people, they don't have to do the hiding, at least, well, not yet. I guess they're getting their bunkers ready or whatever. But the people who are actually the victims, those are the ones who have to hide. All you have to do is these simple math and then ask these questions and you'll realize like something's going to have to happen here because there's not a world in which people are going to be able to continue to enforce this system on other people. And a lot of people are dropping out of society altogether because there's nothing for them there. It's the Monopoly game that has now run its course, and they know it, and they know it's rigged. So there's nothing left to stay doing it for. It's like trapping yourself in a hamster wheel, and even the ride isn't fun anymore. There's just no point. It's pointless. And once more people figure out how absolutely pointless it is, there's not going to be enough people to enforce it. There's not going to be enough places to put all those people. See, the people who are promoting the idea that we can just criminalize everything are obviously just not very good at math. So again, my question is simple. Where is everyone supposed to go? You can't just keep doing this where everybody's homeless and more people are increasingly homeless and homes just sit empty while everyone's homeless and can't afford anything.
You're literally doing nothing wrong. You're sleeping. You're doing an essential fucking human body function, something that every single person who has ever lived has had to do. Okay? And it's like illegal. It's fucking illegal.
You can't criminalize homelessness. I've already disproven it mathematically. So where's everyone supposed to go? Where's everyone supposed to go? That's the question. Again, none of these questions are being actually addressed and answered with anything even closely resembling the truth at all. None. Even like UBI, right? They're laying everybody off. They're saying everybody's going to be fired and AI is going to replace everybody's jobs.
If this condition exists over the nation as a whole, so that the control of jobs and business opportunities is in a few hands, despotism stands a good chance.
What I say goes, see? I'm the law around here.
I don't even know if that's reality or not, but let's just say we're going to have to live in a world with UBI because that's been mentioned a whole lot. There's going to be this universal basic income safety net. Even if we try to play along and play pretend that we believe that that's actually a solution to what's happening or that's even remotely possible, do you ever notice that the people touting UBI that are actually promoting that as an idea never give any concrete details on how that would actually work? Where would the money come from? How much would people get? What would it even be? Would it be money? Would it be tokens? Would it be some other kind of system? We don't even know because no one is telling us anything about any of that. Okay, it's always vague. The point that a system powerful enough to feed you is powerful enough to starve you never even remotely enters into it, but neither do any specifics on how they would do it. And I don't know who that fairy tale is even working on. I really don't.
I'm your fairy godmother.
But I come from a generation that has been told ever since we were in high school, our parents were telling us even back then, before we went to college, they were saying, they're going to take Social Security out of your paycheck. Once you get old enough to collect that, it will not be there for you. And it's not even our parents' fault, but they were just telling us the truth. But they were basically telling us to accept a system that's going to forcibly take money away from us every paycheck and put it somewhere else, and we will never see it again for no reason. That's essentially what we were told, okay?
This huge gambling industry is largely controlled by the Syndicate, the American branch of the International Mafia.
That same government is now telling people that they're going to start reducing people's Social Security, and they've actually had to move the date up to 2032 now, which is a little over 5 years from now. That is not very far away at all. And they're saying they're going to have to reduce it by even much more in 2033. Somehow, though, we're supposed to believe that that same entity that couldn't even administer a Social Security program where we know where the money's coming from, people paid into that program. That is their money. They are being given back that they were forced to pay in. It's not welfare. It's not like they just got something for free. Those people worked their whole lives and were forced to pay into that program. And now the same entity that's forcing that is not going to be giving people their money back. That's what's going on. The same entity that's $40 trillion in debt and has never once been able to pass an audit in all of the years since the 90s when Congress started forcing a Treasury report annually, the Government Accountability Office every single year has disavowed an opinion because of fraud and missing data and all kinds of other reasons, and they've never once been able to pass a single audit. It's $40 trillion in debt. What do you expect to have happen, that the government is going to print more money at interest and then pay off the debt? that. Like, that is never going to happen. That is never going to ever happen. That is mathematically impossible. So we're supposed to believe this fairy tale of UBI while we live under a system that can't even administer Social Security and is now going to start ripping people off and cutting people off from Social Security when they paid in their whole lives. It's a joke.
Remember, when you bet on any commercial gambling games, you are not getting an even break because of the percentages against you. The odds can also be greatly altered by cheating.
This is not reality. And that's where we're at.
Knowing now that private equity has got their hooks into RV parks and mobile home parks, have made it that even an unrealizable dream for the American middle class, to take mobile homes out of reach of the working class of America. That's what's happening in real time right now. It is horrifying. And there's not a good way to do this. There's no good way to fix this except to get in there and let them all bankrupt themselves, not bail them out, and rebuild. We have to demand more. We have to. But this... cars, maybe, but I promise you they'll find a way to monetize the lots we can park those onto. There's simply going to be nothing left.
They cannot criminalize homelessness. There's not enough resources to do it. The homelessness thing is real. People have to spatially exist somewhere. This is why I laugh, by the way, every time I hear people talking about there's going to be moon colonies. We're going to have a colony on Mars. Yeah? Are you going to be part of the pores on Mars in the Total Recall where they turn off people's oxygen? You want to go get in that situation?
Don't do anything.
But they won't last an hour, sir.
Give these people air.
We can't even figure out a way to do it here where we actually have oxygen. Okay? We can't even figure out a way to do this here. You're telling me they're going to figure it out on another planet? I've seen Total Recall a whole bunch of times. I remember thinking, wow, so if you're poor, the people who run things can just turn off your oxygen and murder you. I don't think so, okay? All I have to say about that is it's a cookbook, all right? It's a freaking cookbook.
Don't get on that ship to serve men. It's a cookbook.
I'm Sabak. San Antonio. But this could be any city. Well, I mean, not any city. They're all a little bit different.
I don't know. I was out filming in San Antonio a little while back and just walking around and everything. And I came across a Catholic church. As a big, ornate Catholic church, the kind that has the stained glass windows and everything. And I was filming it. And I realized that there was a statue between the front door of the church and its gift shop. There was a statue of a park bench with a homeless person sleeping on it. It was a statue. And I went up to film it. And I didn't realize at first that there was an actual human being sleeping on the concrete on the ground underneath the statue. And this next part's a bit of a crash out. So if you're not ready to hear some of that, then maybe you want to click off this video. Underneath there is a real human being sleeping on the ground. Couldn't even sleep on a bench because some fucking dumbasses had to put a fucking statue on it right here at the church. Okay, but you can come in at Mass, say some prayers and stuff, okay? While people are sleeping on the freaking ground over there, underneath a statue that's put up to represent them sleeping on. I mean, guys, we have lost the fucking plot. But across the street from where the guy is sleeping on the ground, there's a guy doing a photo op on a scooter. Okay? We've lost the fucking plot in this society. This society is fucked. All right, I don't know how else to tell you that, and I guess no one else wants to tell you that. I'm not sure why. It's not a secret we're keeping from ourselves. All right, this society's fucked up, man. So what are we gonna do about it? We're gonna just live in this retarded clown show forever? Because honestly, nothing makes any fucking sense anymore. Nothing we do makes any sense. They're over there right now building some more. Just keep building. What are you building? What are we building?
whole bunch more fucking nothing. It's just such a waste. This is so, so ridiculous. We had everything. And we fucking gave it all away. For what? So you could put your life in the cloud and rent it back to yourself?
You want to talk about the breakdown of institutions and institutional trust and the glue that holds the fabric of our society together. I mean, there's a big, huge, fancy church, and they have a statue of a homeless person sleeping on a bench so that a real homeless person can't sleep on it. They can't keep forcing everyone to participate. And I think more and more people are going to realize that the Monopoly game is rigged.
How about you? You still on Earth or on the ship with me? It doesn't make very much difference because sooner or later, will all of us be on the menu?
What happens in a single community is the problem of its own citizens. But it is also the problem of us all. Because as communities go, so goes the nation.